open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I plan to take through all of verses 1 through 7 in this paragraph, but we're going to have just some crazy possibly. I'm going to be able to cover the first 5 verses, and we're going to just focus on Isaiah. All the three concepts, Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, but we're only going to work through verses 1 through 5 this morning. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, for a little bit of reading. Think about this one point in our lives. We probably have to make a promise to us and to the future. If we're totally honest, we probably made a promise to someone along the way, and we didn't fully keep our promise to someone else. Just simple human beings, we're not always promised to first. We're truly promised to break it. But our Heavenly Father God, He's not like us. He's perfectly right, perfectly free, perfectly faithful. Every promise that God makes, not to you, if He gives us His word will come to pass. Whatever He pledges, He will fulfill it. The Christmas season is upon us. We are about to be celebrating the incarnation on December 25th when the Son of God became the Son of Man. God stepped down from glory and was born as a little baby. This is a great time for us to all remember that Christmas celebrates God's faithfulness to keep a promise to Israel, not only to Israel, but also to the whole world. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. We learn that Israel, both the northern kingdom and also the southern kingdom of Judah, they were in a state of gloom, despair, and look. God has raised up Isaiah as a prophet. And God has communicated this message to Israel through Isaiah that he had determined to punish them for the menacing nations of Syria and Babylon. And even as Isaiah is speaking and writing this message, God is already beginning to pour out this punishment upon Israel, upon the northernmost territories that they can be delivered to God was going to allow the Assyrians and the Babylonians to invade the land, to conquer them, to oppress them, and eventually to carry them away. And that is God was treating people with contempt. He was fed up with the sinful ways that he was judging them for all of their rebellion. Because of the city, in 722, the city of Assyria ended up conquering all of the northern kingdom of Israel. And by 586 BC, the Babylonians were conquered the southern kingdom of Syria, and they decimated these people, they destroyed it, and burned it with fire. The other myth of all of this is gloom, anguishness, and despair. God made a promise to Isaiah. God promised that He would make their land glorious. Look in chapter 9, verse 1. There will be no more gloom for her who was nameless. No one is actually treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, He shall make His glory by going to sea on the other side of the Jordan, hallowed of the Gentiles. God promised Israel that one day He was going to reverse their current situation. He was going to make their future so much more glorious than the past. This word, glory, for such a time was glorified Israel. He would make their land glorious, that means He would cause them to be honored. How would God cause Israel to be honored? If you look at the context of verses 2 through 7 that follows, we see that God was going to honor Israel by sending them their promised Messiah. Israel had been waiting for centuries for this promised Messiah, this divine Savior King, who would come into the world to deliver them from sin, from their enemies, and to rule them in perfect righteousness, but as yet He still not come. But God, in the midst of all of their gloom and darkness, He told them that your Messiah is coming. And this was not just a promise to honor Israel, but this was a promise to honor the world. When you look at the greater context going on in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, we see that in that day, this group that is set up for David's line from Jesse, all the nations looked before Him, and He was filled with the sickness of people and His rest of
celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas time reminds us how God is faithful in His promise. He's been faithful to honor the world by seeing us, our Messiah, and His Son. We will look this morning how God has honored the world by seeing us, Jesus, our Messiah, our Father. Let's look at the text together. Let's start reading in verse 2, and read it in verse 10. The people who walk in darkness, they will see a great light. Those who live in a dark way and the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness, they will be glad in your presence. And for the gladness of heart, as the men rejoice when they divide the spoil, you shall break the yoke of the burden and staff on their shoulders. The office of oppressor and the power of need. For every group of the booted war is wood, and the battle common, and close gold and blood will be for burning fuels of fire. Your child will be born to us, a son will be born. Notice that the child will be born, but the child born will be struck in his wisdom. The burdens will rest on his shoulders and his king. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Ancient King. He's not just any ordinary man. He's going to be a divine man. There will be no end to the increase of government or of peace. On the throne of David, who comes from David's line, is the promised heir to David's throne, and the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. And on forevermore, Father, this morning we want to understand how you have grace, how you have privilege, how you have blessed the world by fulfilling this promise and seeing us. We're open our hearts and open our minds. Christmas is a monster. We can think about Christmas in a greater form. We can honor you and keep you on the truth. But you tell us about Jesus on the side of our soul. That's not the place to be. So God's been faithful. And He promised to honor the world through the sending of our Messiah. How did the coming of Messiah honor the world? Well, we see, first of all, in verses 1 through 5, those are the verses we're going to focus on this morning, that the Messiah will honor the world through His word. In what the Father sent the Son into the world to do for the world. God, Jesus would accomplish certain works. And in this passage, we see three key aspects of the word of the Messiah. First of all, we see in verse 2 that the Messiah would bring life to the world. Jesus coming into the world with one of the works He would accomplish, that He would bring life to the world. Look at verse 2. The Bible tells us that the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in dark ways, the light will shine on them. Light is a light itself is a major theme that's prevalent throughout the book of Isaiah. Light has to be a contrast with darkness. You look over the chapter 8 of Isaiah and you find out that God's people Israel, they were in a place of darkness because they had rejected His word. They were living according to their own standards. They had walked away from God and not been faithful in the covenant God. And so they, as a result, were in a place of darkness. If we look throughout the Bible, we find out in Psalm 119, verse 105, and other scriptures, that God's word is compared to a light. Listen to what Psalm 119 says. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God's word, this revelation, this written revelation in the material sense, is light to us. It shows us who God is. It shows us how we are to live. It shows us what God expects of us. And that shows darkness in Scripture. It symbolizes when people are ignorant of God's Word, when they reject God's Word, and consequently they're living in sin, and symbolic ultimately is death. Light, on the other hand, it represents Savior is paid out. The coming of power is what honor to the world by bringing the Christ into the world. When we go over to the New Testament, you don't have to flip this passage to get smart and talk to your Bible. John chapter 1, verse 9. John tells us that Jesus is the true light that's coming into the world, the light that is every man. That Jesus came into the world to be the light who would have given life to all people. John chapter 8, verse 12. Now, Jesus himself tells us, I am the light of the world. Now, going back to Isaiah here, Isaiah tells us when this promised Messiah finally would come into the world, that he would be a light who would shine in darkness and people who would see that were sitting in the city. Matthew, in his gospel, chapter 4, verses 12 to 17, he picks up on this prophecy in connection with Jesus' ministry. The Bible tells us that Jesus begins his earthly ministry in Capernaum. That Matthew connects Jesus' arrival in that northern area, which included Zebulun and Naphtali, to the fulfillment of this prophecy that Isaiah predicted 700 plus years before it ever happened. So Matthew quotes this prophecy, and this is what Matthew 7 is the volume of 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Kingdom of heaven. Now, the welcome passage in relation to Jesus, and this is fulfilled in Scripture, his arrival in Capernaum, Matthew tells us Jesus begins to preach this message, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, this is how in one sentence Jesus is alive to the world, and in a very much his first part of all people, Jesus came to bring God's message to the world. Jesus, John tells in this gospel, he's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And in verse 14, John tells the Word is in flesh. What's John telling us? He's telling us that Jesus is ultimately God's message from heaven to this lost world. So God himself came down. The second person is talking to God, and he came to give us life. The Bible tells us that we're all in a state of darkness. We're all blind. We can't see the way we should see. But when a person hears the gospel and believes the gospel and turns their sin and trust in Christ, the Bible tells us we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That we're given forgiveness and we're empowered to live a life, no longer a sinful life, and we move from a state of death into a state of abundance. Eternal life. Jesus came to share the light. He came to bring the message of God to a lost world. It's never happened to me to just turn it off. And you think, well, I've got a lot to do. I don't have time to finish telling you what the Amazon is. And you just take a look for you. And then all of a sudden, the light shot again from outside your window, and you flip on a light, and you look at it from a certain angle, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's dust all over the table. It's dirt all over the countertop. Son of God became the Son of Man, so the Son of live our first life. And I pray that you can trust to keep this life as strong. And you might not be the same as the world. But on the third day, that he would be resurrected from the dead. He told us our problem, he told us the solution, and he even told us the right response. He told us that we want forgiveness in life, eternal, and we want to repent of our sins, and we have to recognize that the promise is from which we believe and we submit our lives to him. This message for kids to the kingdom of God is that we don't worry about his glory. God is one of the God is not one of the things in the life of Christmas reminds us all of this truth. How honored the world is that our holy God loves us this much. That we're going to rescue from the place that he wants us from the start to come to life as the final cross for us. Let me ask you this question. Knowing that the world is garbage and that all of us, before someone shared the gospel with us, we were in darkness. And we were lost, and we were made to help. Who are you going to invite to this Christmas service? Who's that person God's laying on your heart? Family member, friend, neighbor, co-worker? Who are you going to call up and say, hey, we're having Christmas in service, and I really would like you to come and see me. But by the way, who is that person that's on your heart? You don't know where they are here. You don't know if they're saved, you don't know if they're lost, you don't know if they're searching right now. But God wants to use you to speak into their lives and to point them to Jesus, who is the light of the world, who can transfer them from their darkness to the glorious life of Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Are you so far? How many people this morning think that if someone shared the gospel with you and you were dead? Can you raise your hand? I'm so thankful. The pastor and friend of ours was like the boldest to share Jesus Christ when I was 12-year-old boy. And he gave me an invitation. And the Spirit of God took that message, reached my heart in the best way I knew how. I went forward at Providence Baptist Church and knelt at the altar and rejoiced with that community and came up next to me. I told him, I'm lost. I'm not going to heaven. I need to give my life to Jesus. And he was there to lead me to Christ. I'm thankful that happened in my life. I'm thankful for every member here that that happened for you. But I want to see more and more people hear about Jesus in the life of the world so that they become the Lord. The world is honored, church. By coming to Jesus through the Word of being honored to the Word. But this second aspect of Jesus' Word, which honors the world, not only did Messiah come to bring life to the world, but we can work through that the Messiah came to bring joy to the world. To bring joy. Look at verse 3. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of heart. As men rejoice when they despise the spoil. Verse 3 here tells us that the coming of Messiah will be a time of celebration for Israel and for all people. It will bring gladness to the hearts of men. Would the coming of Messiah be such a joy to take you? Or is this time currently in Israel with this woman or the people? We need to know from the book of Isaiah that they were going to be delivered into captivity only a meaning. Y'all told us that in chapter 6, only a ring that the people would come to Babylon, only a ring that would believe in the scripture that Isaiah would preach. But even though there were dwindling people, look at verse 3, but God promises in Isaiah that he can multiply nations. We are talking about here, most likely, this is a reference. And Isaiah knows his Bible, and God is reminding Isaiah of the promises that he's made on only God. Remember Abraham, the father of the Jewish people? God singled out Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And there's going to be a descendant that comes through your life. And through that descendant, you are going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. So most likely, this is why Isaiah is picking up here. This promise that God made Isaiah, or Abraham, to make him a blessing to all families of the earth, this promise is seen as a confidence line. You look over in the book of Galatians, and you see Paul picks up on this promise of God, and the coming first, Abraham, the coming of Christ, and this is what Paul tells us in Galatians 3:7, it is those who are of faith who are true believers. You're a prophet. If you're a person of faith in Christ Jesus, you See, the Lord said in chapter 3, verse 29 of Galatians, if you belong to Christ, and you are Abraham's descendant, you are heirs according to his promise. So if we believe in Christ, we truly are descendants of Abraham. God has us in mind, even the Gentiles. And he made that promise of Abraham, of the seed of Christ. So God is going to make Israel joyous. He's going to make the whole world joyous by grafting in the Gentiles with Israel to be the true people of God in Christ Jesus. See, the Messiah's coming would be a call to celebrate the fabulous celebration because it was good news for the world. It would be the kind of joy out there as well. It would be the kind of joy that characterized the gladness that we had a great heart. And it would be a breath of time on all the laboring work. It would be the kind of joy that you experience when they go off to war against your enemy, and conquer their enemies, and they bring back spoils from the war. And then in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, it talks about this kind of joy associated with the coming of the Messiah. Remember the shepherds? Remember how often the flock by mountains? Remember the angel who appears to the shepherds? And remember the fearful scene in the angel? This is what the angel says in chapter 2, verse 8-11. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For to you, in the city of David, there has been one city with faith. The Lord, the angel tells the shepherds, listen, the message that we're communicating to you is one of great joy, not for some people, not just for Israel, but for all people. Because on this day, there's been a Savior born in the world. Coming news of Jesus coming, according to the Bible, will be a reason for the whole world to celebrate. From January 30th, 1979, coming to the Memorial Hospital in Westminster, Arkansas, my mother is having labor pains. And she gave birth to Donald Lee Smith, Jr. On that day, Donald Smith, Sr., celebrating and rejoicing. My grandmothers were rejoicing, my grandparents, and maybe a few other family members. But you know why? The whole world didn't rejoice when another kid was born. The news outlets they showed in my parents' house to cover it was that there was not this great party that was thrown in all the nations over my birth. You see, I've done relatively little to impact this world. For all other births, all other births, the ordinary births, but Isaiah tells us that this one who was coming, who would be the child that was born to come, that the son that was given, it would be a birth, it would be a coming that would be celebrated by the whole world. And the reason why he said celebrate is because he's a savior for the whole world. See, we all have that same problem. We're all sinners. We may sin in greater capacities and varying degrees, but at the end of the day, our nature is that of sinners. We're under the wrath of God, and we all need to change the meaning of the Savior. And Jesus' birth is like Israel, Joe Babylon said recently, his birth is just a birthday that overshadows Israel's birthday. But that's just the way it works. And it's even Isaiah prophesied that he's coming to be that kind of a joy to him. In a world that's marked by fear, marked by death, and disappointment, and discouragement, and so many things, it seems worth that. It makes it easier for Christmas to know that Jesus helps to enjoy us during this Christmas. It should bring gladness to our hearts. We should be celebrating at this time of year. And why are we doing this? Well, let's do this for hearts. We truly want to celebrate the goodness of Jesus. Yeah, let's enjoy the world that we do first Latin that song. When we do that together, let's sing. Joy to the world, O Lord. Let earth receive her King. Let all things be found before the moon. Let earth receive her King. This is something about our Savior. What's up, God? We promise to follow through. Is it this Christmas? I want to set some time aside before you open presents, before you get into all your family traditions. Sing a song of gratitude. Can I sing a song of rejoicing on the Lord? This is the time of the Lord. Thank you. This is from the Lord. Not only to please, but to please that the Lord is the Lord. In spite of anything that's happened in the open past week, you can have everything in place. You can go out and say, this is good. You can always take it away. You can listen to all of this chaos from my parents' home where it's not for real. Three funny ribbons. Jesus was 300 years in. Think about what God himself coming down to this earth. When my boys were born, both of them still remember this so vividly. I know my wife is a lot more of this problem than that. I'm not myself. I'm just waiting to meet. You can look to meet those two little boys. I can wait to meet those little girls who could be your own daughter. I remember when he talked to them about that. When you think about Christmas, you think about maybe this birthday. The biblical motto is next one. That Jesus was born. He came into this world. We did get started out with babies to the point of supermarket window. But we were lucky to know the spirit of
I'm
Thank you.